up for Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Whoops. Give it up for Jesus. You know what? This is a day of full expectation and miracles when you think about it. So I don't know if there's somebody around you that needs one. Look over at them. You can usually tell when people need a miracle. They're not smiling. Okay? And if they're not, what we're going to do, we're going to stand and you're going to go get them and you're going to tickle them. Okay? No, not naturally. In the spirit. Okay? Come on, everybody stand up. Greet three people around you. Let them know that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Come on, the joy of the Lord is their strength. Come on, the joy of the Lord is their strength. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Joy, 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 joy. Yeah. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We used to sing a song that said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How many know this week that God was real in your life in one instance or another? How many know? Come on, let me see your hand. Jesus showed up and showed you that he's real. Look at that. Man, you can't tell me God's dead. I just talked to him this morning. And I don't talk to the dead. Oh, awesome. Hey, guess what? Almost 20 people gave their life to Jesus in the first service. 20. 20. Oh, the devil was mad. He was so mad. Ooh, he was mad. But I'm glad. Pray this week. Church camp starts Monday. Rebecca, my daughter, she's ready. She's got the truck loaded down. We got about 100 and some kids going. It's going to be a great week. Then after that, Haiti. We're taking about 16 people to Haiti on following Monday. Jeremiah and Pastor Troy's going. I'm going. I don't know how many others are going. I'm not going to go for the whole week, though. I'm just going on the weekend. They're going to go on Monday. I'm going to fly in on Friday, and we're going to do a healing crusade in Haiti. If you want to come, go get a ticket. Friday, we'll pick you up at the airport, and we'll all do this healing crusade. That'd be awesome, man. I'd love to have you down there. Well, we're going to see over 1,000 people are expected to gather at St. Mark's. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to release the healing virtue of Jesus. Now, on the 28th, you do not want to miss that Sunday. I have invited one of the nation's premier speakers. Now, some people say they're word of faith, but this guy is old school word of faith. Okay? Now, how many have ever heard of a guy by the name of Joel Osteen? Okay, you know that, right? He's not going to be here. But his dad, John, was a mentor to the man that's going to be. He was also the former, listen to this, the former chaplain of the Chicago Bears. He has spoken to almost every, not every, but many of the Fortune 500 companies around America. He's a motivator, entrepreneur, word of faith guy, mentored by John Osteen. He's a friend of ours, Van Crouch, if you don't know him. He will be here on that 28th. Man, you bring somebody, and I guarantee you, he's going to wind their clock, okay? And pray for the healing virtues of Jesus to be released. Hey, if you got a Bible, open it up. We're going to go to John chapter 7, and I'm excited about this message. This is a message birthed in the Holy Spirit. If you're visiting with us today, thank you very much. My name is Lewis. I'm the pastor here at Church on the North Coast, and we're delighted that you showed up. If you're here just for the dedication, there's never a just when you're in God's presence. Get ready. He might heal you. He might deliver you. He might save your soul. You just never know. that Oscar is an evangelist. And he may get his first convert this morning. Jackson is an evangelist. And he may get his first convert this morning. So, John chapter 7, Jesus spoke on the eighth day of the great feast of the tabernacles. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Everybody say, flow rivers. Flow rivers. That's what we need. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Jesus was saying its flow is going to be of the Spirit. And whom those believing in him would receive. You're going to receive a flow out of your spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, 13 bullocks were offered in sacrifice. The days of that feast built one day to the next. Extreme worship. The priests would worship and lead the people. And the offerings were for the nations. But on the last day, the great day of the feast is how it was known, that offering was specifically for Israel. And Jesus spoke on that last day and he said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. And there was a part of the ceremony where the priests would literally go to the pool of Siloam. And there they would pull water out from that pool. They would travel to the water gate, which there are 12 gates around the city of Jerusalem. And there they would climb to the altar at that gate. On the west side was a silver basin, and it was filled with water. On the east side, there was another silver basin. It was filled with wine. And they would pour out this water. And it speaks to us of God's grace, God's Spirit being poured out to whosoever will. And Isaiah the prophet, he kind of foretold of this day when he said in chapter 12 in verse 3, he said, you can draw with joy the water from the wells of salvation. In other words, drinking in this symbolic release of God's Holy Spirit, of God's great grace to mankind. And I don't know about you, but you got to get up in the morning. You got to say, God, let the river flow. Holy Spirit, fill me again. Grace of God be poured out upon my life and upon my family. And you know what? He'll do it. The flow of the Holy Spirit is for you and it's for me. There's such a flow on the earth. Being in Brazil last December was so impactful in my life. T and I saw more authenticated healings and miracles in 1 week than we had in the previous 36 years of ministry. That's pretty intense. We saw blind eyes open, lame people walking. We saw people that couldn't bend over without pain, healed instantly. Scoliosis of the spine, straightened instantly. I mean, just one miracle after another. Recently, there's a report in Rio de Janeiro about the children that are now in a flow of the Holy Spirit. Of course, people are criticizing and calling it fake, calling it, you know, something other than what it is. But people are coming from everywhere. 6-year-old children, 12-year-old children, 9-year-old children. And what are they doing? They're in the flow of the Holy Spirit. They're in John chapter 7, verses 37, 8, and 9. And people are being healed as they prophesy because they've learned how to get in the flow. You want the Cavaliers to win tonight? JR's got to get in the flow. You come on. You want the Cavaliers to win? Shumpert's got to get in the flow. Miles Gott's got to get in the flow. Come on, LeBron lives in the flow. But these other guys got to get into the flow. You know what that tells you? If the preacher's in the flow, that's not enough. The whole place has got to get in the flow. All of us have got to get in the flow. We got to get in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. Man, when you're in the flow, you pray better. When you're in the flow, you worship deeper. When you're in the flow, you move in the Spirit much quicker. So we got to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And these children are in the flow. And you know what that tells me? It's the fulfillment of the prophecy that said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Let the critics criticize. You can criticize all day long, but if I come into that atmosphere and an 8-year-old little girl stands up and speaks a word of the Lord over me, and I walk in with cancer and I walk out without cancer, I'm going to tell you one thing. I know what God did, whether you believe it or not. We need to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Get out of the flow, you lose. You can't go 5 for 37. Some of you know what I'm talking about if you follow the game. They got whooped because they're out of the flow. Come on, church. Man, I'm telling you, it's prophetic. Cleveland! Get in the flow. Are you going to get beat? Get in the rhythm of the Holy Spirit and you can win this thing. All right, let me get back to my sermon. See, we have a choice. We either get in the flow of the Holy Spirit where there's life, or we're outside the flow of the Holy Spirit where there's only stagnation. When you are stagnant, it means basically this: not flowing or moving, stale, no vitality. Look at the pictures on the screen. You see, there's one that's a pretty green color. And the reason why it's green is because it's stagnant. Keep that up there because I'm going to talk about it just for a minute. It's green. And if it was springtime and all the grass around that pond became green and all the trees in its foliage became green, you can look over that landscape and can't tell where the water stops and the water ends because it all looks the same. When the church is out of the flow, we look just like the world. Even though down below the surface, we're proclaiming we've got something inside. But we look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, and nothing of vitality and nothing is growing. It's bacteria. Here's where we've been. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Come on, Jesus, bless me. Heal me. Touch me. Feel me. Give me money. Say, what's wrong with that? We want God to bless us. Yes. But he didn't bless you just to bless you. He blessed you to be a blessing. And if all you do is receive what God's given, you become like a stagnant pond. There's no flow. Love doesn't leave you. Money doesn't leave you. Come on. Your kindness doesn't leave you. The goodness doesn't leave you. You and I need to get in the flow no matter where you go. The other day I went to this restaurant and I'd forgotten about this young lady that was there. And she came up to me and she goes, hi. And I went, oh, hi, how are you? And it was a young girl that was a Muslim, and I was blessed to be able to lead her to the Lord because I was in the flow. I didn't go eat lunch apart from the flow. I was in the flow. She came up and she said, what would you like? Would you like some hot water? Would you like some cold water? What would you like? And I'm like, oh, Jesus. He said, talk to her. I said, okay, Lord, oh, give me something, whatever, I don't care. I know when I'm in the flow and when I'm not in the flow. Because when I'm not in the flow, I get annoyed by people. Don't look at me like that. I'm going to come down here and straighten your halo on that horn of yours. Come on. You're looking at me like, well, you know what I'm talking about. You know you're in the flow. When you sense the presence of God and you know that you're not there for lunch, but you're there for a destiny. You're there for purpose and a moment of encountering God. She gave me a big hug, and I said, how is it going? She goes, I got baptized this past Sunday. I said, you did? I said, that's amazing. She said, yeah. I said, did you tell your parents? She goes, oh, no. I don't want to be homeless. They kicked me out of the house. You know what I'm talking about. She comes from a Muslim family. She's already accepted Jesus. She's already going to a church. She just got water baptized, but she doesn't have that boldness yet to be able to say to mom and dad, because this is serious. But I walked away from that moment and I think, God, the reason why we were able to touch this young lady is because I was in the flow. When I see somebody hobbling at Walmart and I go to them and I say, excuse me, I know this is going to sound so crazy, but God uses me sometimes for healing. And when I pray, sometimes he answers my prayers. Do you mind if I pray for you? And then astoundingly, like Pastor Troy said, sometimes when you're in a hospital room and they're all hooked up to the ICU and you pray and all of a sudden you get a response, you go, yeah, awesome, Jesus. Because it's the flow of the Holy Spirit. You could either be on the right or you could be on the left. I want to be a stream that's clear, that's vibrant, that's flowing, that out of my belly, it begins to flow into the humanity of which God has placed me. So I know now. I know now. Now, doesn't matter who it is, where it is, the person in front of me is the most important person in my life at that moment. You are. You are the most important person. Whether you're a homeless man on the corner begging under a viaduct, whether you're a person that's a patient that's waiting in the same waiting room as I am, it's not by mistake that you're in here when I'm in here. God loves you so much that he sent the flow to touch your life. I'm on assignment. Church, we need to get back in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Tap somebody next to you and say, let it flow. But when we distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit, we cut ourselves off from the source. We lose our thirst for God. We really think we can bear fruit apart from the flow? No. It's like a branch going, look at that apple I produced. Hey, branch, it was the flow that came from the trunk and the root that produced that. All you're doing is extending it for everybody to see what God has done. Bible says simply this in John chapter 15. Look at it. It's in verse 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Something creates a blockage and interrupts the flow of the living water within us. And we've got to get connected. We've got to get connected. The first thing in the morning, the first thing at night, the first and foremost thought in our mind ought to be, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, I want you to overcome every blockage. Holy Spirit, speak to me and show me where I have lost the pressure. Have you ever gone to the sink and you hardly have any water coming out? It's more than likely blockage in the pipe. And I brought my Holy Ghost roto-rooter this morning. And I'm about to roto-rooter somebody's life. Amen? Don't look at your neighbor because they might be the one that's going to get rooted. Or rotored or whatever. You know, we receive the love of God, the grace of God, but there's got to be movement out. Church, I'm telling you right now, if you'll just let the love of God out, you'll be a different person. If you'll just let the healing virtue of Jesus flow through you into the person that is in desperation, you'll be a different person. If you'll just allow what God has done in your life to flow through you into the lives of others, of people that you meet, and not just consider that they're in a line with you. No, they're not in a line with you. God strategically planted that person behind you or in front of you because you're on assignment on the earth and you carry the flow of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe we need a breakthrough because some of us are dammed up. I just said damned. In church, I just said damned. Blocked. Obstacles prohibiting the flow. We need a breakthrough. David was up against the battle of his life with the Philistines in 2 Samuel 5 and 20. And it said, so David went to Baal Perazim. When you're up against the enemy, you know where you got to go? Go to Baal Perazim. What's Baal Perazim? The place of breakthrough. When you're up against the enemy, where do you got to go? The place of breakthrough. And David defeated him there. Where? The place of breakthrough. And the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, David said, like a breakthrough of water. We need to allow the flow of the Holy Spirit like a mighty river to flow out of our bellies again. When we're up against the enemy, the place we need to go is to break through where the stoppage has occurred. We need to break that dam. We need to move that obstacle. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And if you're not filling the flow, we're not going to win. If we're not in the rhythm of the Spirit, we can't do this on our own. Don't think for just a minute just because you got 15 guys on the bench and you got a great coach that you can defeat the team that's in the flow. And the demons are in the flow. The demons are on assignment. The demons are relentless. The demons don't think of anything else. They're not distracted by your love, God's love, Holy Ghost, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. They only know three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. They're in a three-pronged, pointed flow of destruction and of death and of thievery. Oh, the church needs to get in the flow. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, Holy Spirit, bring me in the flow. I need the flow. I need a breakthrough. How many this morning will shout breakthrough in your life? Huh? Come on. Come on, let's do it together. One, two, three. Breakthrough. We need a breakthrough in our thinking, a breakthrough in our complacency, a breakthrough in our ideology that has stopped the flow of the Holy Spirit. We've convinced ourselves to be politically correct is the way to go. We're a confused society. Have you noticed? We don't know if we're male or female. If we were male and like it, we could be female. And everybody celebrates and says, oh, you know, I'm just thank you for your bravery. We need a breakthrough. Projecting images that are false and aren't true. Politicians do it all the time. Do you think for one moment Hillary eats at that diner with all the normal people every weekend? It's a photo op. It's a projection. We need to get in the flow. We need to right the wrong. We need a breakthrough. We can't be seduced. We can't be seduced by the thoughts and intents of a generation that calls good evil and evil good. He said we need a breakthrough where the water flows, where the Spirit of God flows. And if your life has become stagnant pond as a Christian, you need to break the dam. Need some hard-hitting, forceful blows of the Spirit of God to bring some sense into you. You know, my mother used to say, I'm going to knock some sense into you. I said, Mama, you do that, you're going to knock sense out of me. She goes, oh, no, no, I already did that. I'm going to knock it into you now. Did you ever hear that? I'm going to knock some sense into you. I'm like, oh. I think I need that sometime. I need God to say, God, knock some sense into me. Kind of like the prodigal. You're sitting there and you're having dinner with pigs. You smell like one. You're acting like one. You're living among them. You're all slimy and you're enjoying dinner. Until something knocks some sense into you. He came to his right mind. He came to his senses. And he goes, man, what am I doing here? God, get the Holy Ghost blow upside the head of somebody in here this morning. I don't know who needs it, but God, give it to us that we might get in the flow. Let me say this. God's power flows where He is. Say that with me. God's power flows where He is. Okay. God's power flows where He is. Now, what happened when Jesus was crucified? Remember, it got dark out. Remember, there was an earthquake. Remember, people came out of the tombs. That would have freaked me out. Here comes Isaiah walking. Hey, what's up? Ezekiel goes, not much. How about you? I'm like, oh, dude. Yeah, they come out of the tombs. No wonder the centurion goes, this was truly the Son of God. No joke. I mean, dead people are walking. I mean, whole place is shaking. But what else happened there? Remember? What else happened at the cross? There's a powerful truth that you got to get in your spirit this morning. Jesus died on the cross. What happened in the temple? Do you remember? What happened in the temple? The veil. The veil. Where was the veil? Between the holy place and the holy of holies. It means you can't come in there. It was like 12 inches thick. Only the priest went in there one time a year. And you better be a high priest. Don't be playing. This ain't Halloween. Don't be dressing up like one because you're going to die if you go in there. You got to be the real deal. One time a year, high priest goes in the Holy of Holies and offers sacrifice. They were so timid about this, they put a rope around them. John, you know what they did? They tied a rope around them. They said, look, if you go in there and you ain't it and you die, we ain't coming to get you. They said, we're going to pull you out. And they had bells on the bottom of their vestments and they would sway as they go in. And as long as they could hear those dim little tinkle, tinkle, tinkles, they knew that it was all right. But on the crucifixion, when Jesus died at the cross, the right hand and the left hand of Almighty God reached down into this earth. And he took the temple. He took the temple veil, 12 inches thick, some say even thicker. And he put his hands on them. And he didn't rip it from the bottom to the top. No, no, no. Because that would have been indicative of the fact that there was something you or I could do of it. No, God said, no, it ain't ripping from the bottom where you can reach. I'm going to do it from the top. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to rip it in two. And the glory that was behind the veil is now going to be released unto the nations. And the power of God was released to the world. Come on, lift your hands up and say, let it flow. Come on, let it flow. Woo! And the glory of God began to flow out to the nations. My, my. I'm telling you, God's power flows where he is. How many remember the story of Acts 3? A lame man sitting at the gate beautiful. Alms. He'd been doing it for all his life. 40 years. Now, when you go to the temple, you had to ascend multiple levels of staircases because you had to go up to the house of the Lord. He was at the gate beautiful, preceding the last ascension of steps into the temple. It's a pretty powerful story when you think about it. Because Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And on their way, they met somebody who to ordinary people was just another somebody. But to them, because they were in the flow, he was the most important person in their life at the time because he was in front of them. And what's interesting about this healing, about this miracle, is that the healing flow of God did not come from the temple down the steps, but the healing flow of God came up the steps in Peter and John. Did you know when you got up this morning and you're in the flow, you carry the same virtue that left Jesus when it went into the woman with the issue of blood. You bring that same flow of the Holy Spirit no matter where you go. Powerful. He said, silver and gold have we not, Bubba, but I'll tell you what I do have, I'm about to give to you. Told him to rise up and be healed. He went walking and leaping and praising God. And he's the one that wrote that song, you know. Look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath done. Yeah, he wrote that song. Blew the temple people away. Because the flow came up the steps. The flow came in the door this morning. I didn't have to get the flow through the worship. Mm-mm. No, I added to the flow that was already here. I'm telling you, there are rivers all over this room, and we came together. We have a mighty flowing force that it matters not what situation or circumstance you're in, but God is able. John chapter 11, remember the story? hey, your friend Lazarus, he's sick, we better go. And he said, let him die. No, Jesus didn't say that. But he waited 4 days until he was dead. Now, 4 days later, rather, he waited until he died. 4 days later, Jesus shows up. Martha and Mary come. Jesus! Jesus! Had you been here, my brother would not have died, your friend. It's interesting, isn't it? You got to be careful this morning, ladies and gentlemen, because if you're in the flow, he will not be your God of yesterday. Had you been here, God, our marriage would have never ended. Had you been here, God, I would have never lost my job. Had you been here, God, my son or daughter wouldn't have got on drugs. Had you been here, God, don't you fall into that trap. God is here right now. And Martha was living in yesterday. And Jesus said, your brother's not dead. He's going to live. He's going to raise again. And what did she say? I know, Lord. I've been to Bible college. I have all my theology really right. I know that in the last day, he's going to be resurrected into new life. Jesus said, you got to get in the flow, girlfriend. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes on me shall live, even though he dies. In other words, Lazarus is coming back, and he's coming back today. See, if he's not the God of yesterday, he's a God of a dim, distant future. You're disconnected to the flow because he was a God back then, and he will be someday. But Jesus had made this announcement. Hebrews recorded it. He said, I'm the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If you get in the flow, you'll find out he's not the God of yesterday, and he's not necessarily the God of the future. Come on, church. He's the God of the right now, wherever you are and whatever your need is. You got to get in the flow. Come on, if you're going to praise him, shout. Woo! Hallelujah. Say this with me. God's power flows wherever he is. God's power flows wherever there's expectancy. Expectancy means this, to wait for something in suspense. What's the score? Yeah, I knew we were going to win. Suspense, expectancy, outstretched neck, not hunched over shoulders, not bowed down in defeat. Expectancy. Where there's expectancy, God is. You see, you and I can't give up every time we have a difficult situation. We got to say, I expect God to show up and to show out in my life. I'm not going to be defeated. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not quitting. I get your fight back. Listen, I'm in it to win it. I'm not here just to play games. I didn't come to church just to hang out. I came here to see people saved, delivered, set free of the devil. That's why I came here this morning. I'm glad to meet you and all that, and that's great. But you know what? I want to see you in heaven. I don't just want to see you come here once in a while and say, yeah, I remember them, but they went to hell. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to make you comfortable. I got my Roto-Rooter out, and I'm about to do some work here. Come on, because it ain't me you need. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the flow of God in your life. Listen. Hebrews 11:6. I want you to read it with me. You can get up on the screen. You know it. But say it with me. Ready? Let's read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder. God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Even the lame man at the gate expected something, even if it was just some change. He expected something. Did you come this morning expecting? Did you come here expecting to hear a word, expecting to get healed, expecting to have a family member saved? Did you come expecting to touch God and for God to touch you? Here it is. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. What did he have? Peter and John. What did he have? He possessed expectancy. And he said, I am going to give you what I have. I expect that God is about to show up in your life. I expect every drug addicted person in here this morning to be set free in Jesus' name. I expect every man addicted to pornography to be set free. I expect every religious person bound by spirits of religion to be loosed into liberty and freedom of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Expectancy. Hudson Taylor once said this, one of the greatest missionaries ever. If you ever read his biography, you need to read it. One of the greatest missionaries ever, Inland China Mission, where today he's a direct result of millions of Chinese serving Jesus underground, under heavy persecution. And this is what he said. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Let me tell you what a great thing is. You say, well, I'm not going to do any great things for God. You give a cup of cold water. In his sight, that's great. Why? You get a prophet's reward. How about that, Bubba? You got any water? Well, what can I do for God? I don't even know the Bible that well. Hey, you see any naked people anywhere? Clothe them. You see somebody in prison? Visit them. You see somebody sick? Go pray for them. Huh? Hungry? Go feed them. You say, well, that's not very great. Oh, yeah? God said, if you've done it to them, you've done it unto me. The least of them, you've done it unto me. Do something great for God and expect something great from God. Let me tell you the greatness of God. He'll give you love where you had none. He'll give you beauty where you've only known ashes. He'll give you restoration in your life. He'll restore all things. Do something great for God. And you can expect something great from God. Come on, put your hands up and say, Father, I expect, come on, I expect something great from you today. Say this with me, God's power flows where there's expectancy. And God's power flows where you recognize his authority. All right, I'm going to mess with all you. I got to pray about it first, Pastor, people. Let me help you. I don't see that in the Bible. I'm going to go pray about it. I'll get back with you in a month because I'm going to make sure it's God's will. Okay. Did you know when Peter and John went to the gate beautiful and saw the man? The lame man. They saw the lame man, and they look at the lame man, and the lame man was looking at them, and he goes, hey, silver and gold have we none. But what do we have? We'll give unto you. Wait a minute, we'll be right back. We got to go pray about it. Is it in the Bible? Pastor Adam, is it in the Bible? Did they go pray about that man? No, they were going to prayer. They didn't pray. Why didn't they pray? We got to pray. That's what we do. We pray. Jesus, please do something here, Jesus. You know, this person really needs healed. And God, if you're so gracious, God, if it's your will. And oh, God, you know, Holy Ghost, come because I've fasted. I've been seeking you and I've been paying the price, Lord. So I just want you to come. Stop it. Would you please stop that? They didn't pray. They just said, silver and gold have we none, but what we have, the authority of Jesus to do what I'm about to say. I give you the authority that I possess, and I command you now to rise up and walk. How about that for a prayer? I don't know if I like that. I think that's a little too much. I didn't write the Bible, Bubba. That's in there. He just said, by the authority in me, according to Luke 10 and 1, according to Luke 9, according to Mark 16, all authority has been given unto you. So let's use it. all authority. That means I have authority over sickness. That means I have authority over myself. That means I have authority over Satan. Come on, somebody. Come on. That means I have authority in every dimension of life. So quit your whining and crying. God doesn't love me. He loves them more. And I guess I just have to earn his love. Stop. Why are you going to do that? Why are you falling in that political correctness of a lukewarm church? Either he did or he didn't. How many know he did?
Yes.
And he does.
Yes.
And he will.
Yes.
All right. The recognized authority of God. Recognition of the gift of God's authority in one's life will open the floodgates of living water. Now notice what Jesus said in John chapter 7. I'm going to quit here. He said, out of your where? Belly. Out of your where?
Belly.
Shall what?
Flow.
What? Rivers?
Rivers.
Of what?
Living.
Out of your belly. It's interesting in the Hebrew, you know that word belly? It means, and it can be interpreted, womb. Out of your womb shall flow rivers of living water. Huh. Out of my womb. What's a womb for, girls? Guys, you don't know nothing. Come on, ladies. What is a womb used for? To create life. You don't believe it? Ask Amanda. Lauren, where are you? Nobody believes it? Go talk to Lauren. She had a womb. And it birthed life. Out of your place of birthing. Out of your place that was given to you to create life. Shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, this flow of the Holy Spirit is going to come out of the very place that creates life. So that means wherever it goes, because its origin was life, wherever it goes, it may see death, but life will have to overturn death. Because I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now the devil, he's only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But here's the good news. I've overcome the devil. Huh? In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Ladies and gentlemen, out of the flow of the Holy Spirit, you bring life. So let it flow, baby. Let it flow. Man, it's 1:36. Jesus is pointing at his clock. Let me give you three quick things. If you and I don't get in the flow, also known as getting in the zone or finding your rhythm of the Holy Spirit, you may contend, but you'll never win. Becoming fully immersed in the recognition of His presence and power, in essence, is flow. Flow can be characterized by complete absorption in what one does. Here are three deterrents, and I'm going to leave you with this, to flow. Some of these older homes, and you try to restore them, you know, you have no water pressure, as I mentioned earlier, and you cut open a pipe and you find out that all the sediment in that pipe is restricting its flow. Have you ever seen a pipe that has all that sediment in there going, ew, yuck. I need a Roto-Rooter. Here's what provides the sediment in the flow of a believer's life. Number one, becoming too comfortable. Comfortability has to do with compromise. In other words, it leads to mundane routines that cause us to go through the motions of life without thought and dependency on the Holy Spirit. Church is boring. Bible is redundant. Prayer seems to be worthless. It's because we become too comfortable. We're not hungry. You don't really want it. You really realize that when we think we can do it is the most dangerous place to be in. Number two, we become too distant. We become distant from the body of Christ. We become self-reliant and we miss the modeling and the mentoring of champions. I'm looking out at some real champions here this morning. And I need you in my life because when you play like a champion, you influence me. That's why anybody that plays with 23 gets better. And you want to be on his team. See, you start staying away from church, staying away from champions. And you'll just be average at best. But you get around champions. And they pray prayers of faith. And they believe God. And they cry out. And they speak the things that are not as though they were. And they begin to walk by faith and not by sight. You look at them and you think, shoot, man, I got to work a little harder here. Number three, becoming disconnected. Disconnection happens slowly, but it's basically to abort spiritual disciplines. What are spiritual disciplines, one might ask? It's daily prayer, daily reading the word, worship, sometimes even silence, sitting before God, service, even people you don't know, just being kind to them. It's called spiritual disciplines. Why do you need spiritual disciplines? Because it keeps the sediment from the bottom of the river in its place. Otherwise, it will be brought into the intake of your own life and not filtered. And over time, you become constricted. And a pipe that's supposed to be 2 inches in diameter is now about a quarter inch. And when you go to the sink, you have to wait a long time for your pot to fill up. It's time for you and me to say, Holy Spirit, I need to open the flow of my life. If you're here this morning and you say, hey, preacher, Mr. Preacher, I need you to pray for me. You know, I believe that today there are people in this room that are really, if you'd be honest, you're not saved. You have a recognition of God. You might even have a knowledge about him, but you've really never known him personally. But today you can. The question is, do you want heaven or do you want hell? Because those are the only two choices. There's no in between. It's either heaven or hell, dark or light. It's either God or Satan. The point is, you're going to have to make a decision and a choice. Why not make that today? Why not say, you know what? I want God. I don't want Satan. I'm tired of the devil ruling my life. I want to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit. I want to believe that God is not the God of yesterday or the future, but he's the God that's a right now God. And I need you to pray for me, Mr. Preacher. All right? I will. That's why I came to church today, is to pray for you. I came here, I was motivated here because I see people raising their hand. I see you. So nobody looking around, just quickly, if I can ask this question, if you're here today and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, you don't know, but you want to know. You say, you know what I want? God, I'm tired of serving the devil. I want life and not death. Pray for me. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you, if you want that prayer, to be bold and to lift your hand up without reservation, without hesitation, and God will meet you through the Holy Spirit because he's going to open the flow in your life, and you're going to be experiencing life the way God intended. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's you. Hold your hand up. Say, Pastor, I need that prayer. God bless you. Hold it up there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Let me see your hand if I can see it. God bless you. Anybody else? Let me see it. Help me, ushers, if you can see it. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you and God bless you. Amen. All right. You can put your hands down. Oh, I saw that. I missed that one. Did you have your hand up? Right there. You, sir. I can't see your t-shirt, but it's gray. Right there. Did you have your hand up? Yeah? Did you? No. You didn't have it up. Okay. I thought you did. You must have been scratching your ear. All right. One more time. We got to quit. But if you say, I didn't raise my hand, Pastor, I got to mean business with God. I can't go on like this. I need the flow of the Holy Spirit operating in my life. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't raise it the first time, but I'm going to do it this time. And so now, if you already raised it, don't do it. But if you're serious and you want Jesus as your Savior, 1, 2, 3, lift it up. If I miss it the first time, do it this time. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay? Are we good? We got everybody? Okay, everybody, raise your hand. Do me a favor. Get bold. Get strong. Look in the face of the devil and say, you can't have my life. And I want you to stand up on your feet. Come on. You raise your hand, I want you to stand up. Altar ministers, come on. Altar ministers, where are you? Come on. Huh? Yeah? Huh? Come on. You raise your hand. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. I said, altar ministers, would you come? And I want you to come and pray with somebody right now. Come on, honey. Come on. You in the back, sir. Come on. Would you make that walk? You over there. Would you come? Come on. Over here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You just say, I'm coming down there right this moment. Come on. Encourage them. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Bring the whole family. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. Amen. 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 Come on. Don't wait. Jesus is waiting on you. All right. All right. All right. Now, here's what I need you to do, folks. I need you to stay engaged for the next 120 seconds. I want you to look somebody at right or left as we stand. Ask them if they need to go for this prayer. People are praying. People are crying. I can hear them right now. God is moving on their life. God will move on your life. We say, well, why do I need to come up there? Listen, it's an act of faith. It's a step of faith. And God will meet you in that step of faith. So don't resist it, okay? So everybody stand, look at somebody and say, do you need that prayer? If you need it, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and bring them to the front. Come on, would you do it right now? Come on, let's just worship. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, whatever. I don't know. Something. Hallelujah. Come on, baby. Come on. That's good. That's good. Come on. There's another one right here. There's a baby right here coming. Look at here. Look at here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Is there anybody else? Come on. Come on. Is there anybody else? Come on. Jesus is here for you.
God is what our hearts long for.
Okay, right here. Come on. We need somebody else to pray here. There you go. Come on, church, would you worship? Come on, let's worship. Create an atmosphere of worship.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Come on, worship. I want to sing it one last time while we're praying. I'm serious as I can possibly be. When we sing that, you take your hand and lay it on your belly and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to just give me a free, open access to your presence. I don't want any blockages. I want the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. All right, just sing it one last time. Make that a prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Okay, can we do that? Come on, sing it now.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flow.
want to do one last thing, and thank you for your patience. I really feel like we should pray for each other. Number one, to break any comfort or where we become mundane. Number two, any distance that we've allowed to develop, that would close this morning. And then finally, any disconnection from our spiritual disciplines of lifeline with God. So could you just quickly, if you're next to somebody, put your hand on their shoulder, and would you pray that today they would hear the voice of the Spirit, that they would not be disconnected, that they would be connected to the presence of God, and that they would not be distant from the Lord. Just go ahead and pray one for one another. The other song.